did Leo Neighborinos, and welcome into the week 13 edition of Sunday Best. I'm your host, Jay Felicio, and can you believe it? We are 1 week away from the fantasy playoffs, as hard as it is to believe. Appreciate you hanging out, and if this is your first time listening, what you can expect is a short, quick-hitting podcast reacting to the happenings of usually just Sunday's games, but considering the holiday and there was four games, maybe you didn't get to watch as much football as you would have liked, didn't get to see all the games, maybe fell asleep after eating a lot of turkey. I'm going to hit the Thanksgiving games and the Black Friday game as well. So normally I just hit the Sunday games, but going to make a little bit of an exception for the holiday. The big thing is that I'm not going to hit every player and I'm not going to hit every game. But what I like to do is circle around the league and hit 10 or so of the most impactful performances. After that, I'll do a quick tap on a couple of performances that impacted the week in fantasy, but maybe don't really need a whole lot of context, and then touch on any injuries that have fantasy football impact for the rest of the season. In the words of Mario, here do we go! The Lions were the ones wearing the throwbacks, but it was Jordan Love who had the throwback performance on Thanksgiving. Love threw four touchdowns for the first time since week six in an immensely impactful division win over the Lions. Love threw four touchdowns, but completed just 18 passes, his third game in his last four with a 60% completion percent or worse. Coming into the game with two passing touchdowns in his previous four, he's a borderline QB1. You can feel pretty comfortable starting in the right matchups. Three different receivers caught a touchdown for the Packers. Unsurprisingly, one of them was Christian Watson and another Romeo Doubs, but it was Dontavian Wicks who came down with two Turkey Day tutties and scored a career-best 28 fantasy points, catching 6 of 7 targets for 94 yards and the aforementioned scores. Wicks previously had a season high of 44 yards in week two and no games with double-digit points, his third game over 20 fantasy points in his entire career. Watson saw a season-high 10 targets, catching 4 passes, including a 51-yard bomb from Love, where he just simply beat the Lions DB. Watson has 6 catches of over 20 yards in just 6 games this season, and a total of 22 targets over his last 3 games. He's emerged as easily the top fantasy option for the Packers, albeit a volatile one. Dobbs scored a touchdown, but it was just his second game with over 10 points in his last 6 games. His early season usage as the team's wide receiver one is long gone, and he's merely a touchdown dependent flex play. Matthew Golden missed the game with a wrist injury, but he's a non-factor for fantasy. Jaden Reed is practicing, and there's a solid chance that he returns in week 14. Things are going to get a little more crowded in Green Bay in the coming weeks when the two return. I'm still starting Watson when Reed returns, but he becomes even more volatile. Both he and Reed will be boom-bust wide receiver threes with sky-high upside but non-existent floors, likely trading off big performances between the two. Amon-Ra St. Brown left the game after the Lions' second drive and was unable to return due to what would wind up an ankle injury. It's not expected long-term, and the Lions are claiming he's day-to-day, but it was initially expected to miss a couple of weeks. The Lions playing the Cowboys on Thursday night. I think the Sun God probably misses week 14, but nothing set in stone just yet. In his absence, Jameson Williams went off, setting career highs in receptions and receiving yards, demolishing his previous career high of 143 yards set in week 16 of last season. If you roster JMO, you have to start him each and every week and ride the roller coaster. You're never going to be able to predict the boom week, so you just have to suck it up and deal with the busts as well. With St. Brown out, Isaac Tesla caught his third touchdown of the season and played a season-high 92% of snaps, but was targeted just twice. 50% of Tesla's catches have been touchdowns this season, but he only has 6 catches. It's nothing more than a touchdown or bust flex. With Khalif Raymond inactive, 7-year vet Tom Kenny played 76% of the slot snaps after St. Brown went down. If Raymond can return next week, he should slide into the Sun God's role, but I'm not risking starting him in the final week of the fantasy season outside of the most desperate of desperate situations. None of the Kansas City running backs did much in week 13, but Kareem Hunt had 11 more carries than Isaiah Pacheco, handling the majority of early downs, third downs, and all but one play in the 2-minute drill. Hunt also handled 4 of the 5 plays on the goal line. Hunt rushed for 58 yards and caught 1 of 2 targets for 22 yards, with Pacheco earning just 16 yards on the ground, catching both of his targets for 17 yards. I expect Pacheco to be more involved in the future weeks, but Hunt's the only Chiefs back that I'm willing to start in fantasy, and he's just a touchdown or bust flex. I am firing him up next week, however, in the delectable top 5 fantasy matchup against the Titans of Tennessee. In a game Lamar Jackson was expected to feast, a Thanksgiving famine left fantasy managers wanting so much more. Jackson failed to score a touchdown in his third straight game, the longest scoreless streak of his career. The two-time MVP completed 17 of 32 passes for 246 yards, rushed 6 times for 27 yards, turned the ball over 3 times. Jackson threw 1 interception and lost 2 fumbles, one of which brought back memories of the tuck rule, Lamar losing the ball while trying to pull back on a pass attempt. Jackson admittedly doesn't look quite right, but I'm willing to give him a bit of a mulligan on this one. He could have easily had 3 touchdowns, and none of this doom and gloom, the sky is falling talk would have been breathed into the atmosphere. He slightly overthrew a wide-open Tez Walker, but Walker should have come down with a pass and walked straight into the end zone. Jackson lost a second touchdown on a 44-yard pass to Isaiah Likely when it was reversed after replay revealed he fumbled before breaking the plane, the ball going out of the end zone for a touchback. Sidebar, I don't think that's a dumb rule. And a third potential touchdown was negated by a questionable flag from a push-off call on Zay Flowers on a 36-yard missile from Lamar Jackson. Not done my Week 14 rankings just yet, but I'm still comfortable starting Jackson in almost all scenarios. For the first time since Week 2, Joe Burrow was under center for the Cincinnati Bengals. He was far from flawless, but did show moments of that Joe Shiesty brilliance, throwing for 261 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no turnovers. Joe Burrow did it without T. Higgins, who suffered a concussion in Week 13, but the hope is that he can return for next week's clash in Buffalo. It was fantastic to see the beautiful bond on the deep ball between Burrow and his BFF Jamar Chase. The rest of the season is pretty much a must-win scenario for the Bengals, and I'll have Burrow classified as a QB1 regardless of the matchup the rest of the way. Now, I'm man enough to admit when I'm wrong, and I was wrong about Chase Brown. Maybe not in the first half of the season, but since his 2-touchdown game in Week 8, he's been an absolute beast. Oddly enough, Brown hasn't scored a touchdown since Week 8, but he's still averaging nearly 18 fantasy points per game in his last 4. Samaje Perine was back after missing 2 games and slotted right back into his third down role, but it didn't matter. Brown toted 15 carries for 78 yards and caught all 7 of his targets for 35 yards. A max of 4 games remain in the 2025 fantasy season, and 3 of those 4 are top 10 fantasy matchups for running backs: Buffalo, Miami, and Arizona. The 4th is Baltimore, which ranks just outside the top 10. What can Brown do for you? How about guiding you to a fantasy football championship? DeAndre Swift had slightly more snaps, but Kyle Manungai had 4 more carries and 5 more yards as both Bears backs rushed for over 100 yards and a touchdown in an upset win in Philly on Black Friday. Each averaged over 5 yards per carry. Since Week 11, Swift has just 1 more carry and only 29 more rushing yards, but Manungai has a 60-40 edge inside the 5 and 3 rushing touchdowns to Swift's 1. The Bears face the Packers twice and the Browns once in their next 3 games, with both being bottom 10 matchups for fantasy for running backs. Swift is ever so slightly the 1A in this backfield, but both are startable despite the upcoming schedule. Considering the shared workload, I'd consider both high upside flex plays. The Boo Birds were out in bunches on Black Friday in Philly as the Bears came to town and showed just how broken the Eagles' offense truly is. A.J. Brown again had a great fantasy game, catching 10 balls for 132 yards and 2 touchdowns, but barely leaving any scraps for Devonta Smith. With Hurts struggling again, Smith caught 5 of 8 targets for just 48 yards. Hurts threw 2 touchdowns, but had 2 turnovers to match, including losing a fumble on a tush push. He threw for under 250 passing yards for the 3rd time in 4 games. Did nearly all of his damage in the second half after throwing for 57 yards in the first 2 quarters. It was Hurts' 3rd game in his last 4 with a sub-60 completion percentage, something he did just twice last season. The Eagles face the Chargers on Monday night, Week 14, and Hurts could struggle again. The Chargers are holding opposing quarterbacks to under 200 passing yards in 5 straight games and are tied for allowing a league-low 10 passing touchdowns this season. Hurts is still a must-start thanks to his rushing, but his ceiling could be capped against the Chargers in the final week of the fantasy regular season. A.J. Brown is back to being an every-week wide receiver 1, and Smith should still be considered a solid, albeit volatile, wide receiver 2. Ladies and gentlemen, he's back. Bucky Irving handled 16 of 20 rush attempts for 56 yards and a rushing touchdown, but don't let those modest numbers fool you. Irving looked every bit of his explosive self with over 40 yards after contact and forcing 6 missed tackles. But the best part may have been that Bucky handled 100% of the goal line carries and probably should have had at least 1 more touchdown. He had a rushing touchdown called back in the first half on a hold that didn't even help him get into the end zone, but was a hold nonetheless. Rashad White came back into the game for the second long and got down to the one. Irving came back in and the formation looked identical to the play a few snaps prior, but the Bucs used the element of surprise and we got a big man tutty. Mayfield hitting Tristan Wirfs for a touchdown reception. If you had any hesitation before, you can take it, shine it up real nice, toss it right out the window. Bucky Irving is locked in as an every week RB1 the rest of the season. Brian Thomas Jr. easily is on the shortlist for biggest bust this season, and he didn't do anything to flip the script in week 13. It was Jacoby Myers who led the way for the Jaguars, catching all of his team-high 6 targets for 91 yards and a touchdown. BTJ saw just 3 targets, his lowest target total since week 10 of last season, but through the thick fog of unfortunate sophomore slump, there is a small glimmer of positivity to come out of this game. BTJ played 26% of his snaps from the slot, his first game over 20% since week 4, and his first over 25% since week 2. Now last season, Thomas led the league with 7 touchdowns scored from the slot, and ranked number 1 in fantasy points per route run from the slot per fantasy point data. We're not going to see the wide receiver 1, Brian Thomas Jr. again this season, but if this uptick in slot usage holds through the rest of the year, hopefully his efficiency and fantasy points will uptick as well. For now, view Myers as a high-end wide receiver 3, and BTJ as an upside flex play. For those who gambled with Daniel Jones against the worst fantasy matchup for quarterbacks, week 13 was one of those, okay, cool, I'll take that, kind of performances, especially after the Colts punted the first 3 drives. Jones had a season-low 14 completions and barely snuck over 200 passing yards, but did throw 2 touchdowns. He completed just 52% of his passes and only ran for a single rushing yard, but was turnover-free for a second straight game. Considering the fractured fibula likely limits his rushing upside for the rest of the season, Jones is more of a floor play than upside, but a rock-solid QB1 for the final 4 weeks of the fantasy season. So, remember how everyone, including me, said it couldn't get any worse than JJ McCarthy? Turns out, it can. Max Brosmer showed why he went undrafted, completing more passes to the Seattle defense, 4, than to Justin Jefferson, 2. It was floating around the interwebs how McCarthy's 34.2 QBR in week 12 was worse than the 39.6 QBR he would have gotten had he spiked every snap. Brosmer was worse by nearly 2 points. Justin Jefferson got his first catch with a minute 20 left in the third quarter, coming dangerously close to his first game with no catches in the first 3 quarters of a game. I wanted to give Jay Jetta a chance with someone other than McCarthy at quarterback. I did, and it was not great, Bob. Pains me to say this, but I'm benching Justin Jefferson until further notice. A.D. Mitchell had a day of firsts. His first career 100-yard receiving game and his first NFL touchdown. Mitchell caught 8 of 12 targets and has 6 or more targets in each of his last 3 games. It's likely the top waiver wire pickup this week. Devon Achane totaled 134 rushing yards and a touchdown against the Saints. This just in, Devon Achane is good. Stop me if you heard this one before, but Devontae Adams caught 2 touchdowns. It was a second straight game with multiple scores and his 4th in the last 6 games. The goal line wide receiver is must-start wide receiver 1. Devon Valet had a career day, catching all 8 of his targets for 93 yards and a touchdown. Could be a desperation flex if you're feeling kind of frisky. Michael Wilson didn't have 15 or more targets for the 3rd straight game, but he did tie Marvin Harrison Jr. for the team lead with 7 targets. Wilson's 2-week run as possibly the greatest receiver of all time is over, but he's still a serviceable flex. As for those dreaded injuries, Justin Herbert fractured his left hand versus the Raiders and is set to undergo surgery on Monday, but surprisingly played most of the game with said injury, and there's a good chance he suits up next week. Aaron Rodgers took a huge sack from Joey Bosa and temporarily left the game with a crimson mask, but was able to return and should play next week. Marvin Harrison Jr. left the game with a heel injury and didn't return, but doesn't seem to be in any danger of missing any time. Aaron Jones left in the second half of the Vikings game after re-aggravating his shoulder injury and didn't return. As I said earlier in the show, Amon-Ra St. Brown suffered a sprained ankle on Thanksgiving. No word of his official availability just yet, but I fully expect him to miss at least week 14. That's a wrap for the week 13 edition of Sunday Best. I will be back next week for the week 14 edition, same bat time, same bat channel. And as always, choose love, not hate.